Important dates in Christian history. 1962. Second Vatican Council begins, the most significant council since Trent. It will promote new attitudes and practices in Catholicism as Rome seeks to address the modern age. After Vatican II, priests perform the Mass in the local language whilst facing the congregation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ruh-roh, is the church partially, or maybe even more than that, to blame? This is Wretched Radio. The rise of muscular masculinity, there's no question it is happening. It appears in many ways it is misdirected. But that doesn't mean that there isn't something about it that we shouldn't understand. Just because we see a guy like Nick Fuentes, who is popular to some degree, influencing young men to be tough talkers, to sound pretty sexist, to sound rather racist, love Adolf Hitler and Stalin, you got to ask yourself the question, all right, why is that happening? Why are young men, Christian young men, so attracted to that? I want to know, not because I want to have a political conversation about it. That's interesting enough. I want to know so that we can have a church conversation about this. What is the church failing to do that is allowing its young men to go sniffing elsewhere for something that just feels downright more masculine? Megan Basham, Shepherds for Sale, Daily Wire, joining us to discuss these young men and what it is. The interest that I have, Megan, all of this stuff between Tucker Carlson and Ben Shapiro, all really intriguing stuff. Nick Fuentes, kind of an interesting character, but to me only in as much as he is the lightning rod that is causing the attraction to him. I want to know what's causing that. According to you, you just said it's because the church has failed to teach correctly about masculine leadership. I've heard this, but here's where it gets tricky though, Megan. Mm-hmm. You just said that men are told that the way to lead is to serve. Well, that's not totally wrong.
Right, right.
Okay, so this is where the door gets cracked open, because that's not wrong. And yet, it's really not leadership either, because leadership means stepping in front. Leadership says, this way, team. Leadership says, I'm going to block. I'm going to protect. I'm going to guide in this. I'm even going to decision make in this unit. It's not leadership. So, in your opinion, Megan, how should the church be talking about male leadership, whether it's in the home, the church, or in the country?
Well, you know, one of the first things that I think of is that a leader needs to actually lead. So the idea that what you do is consult with your wife and then do what your wife says, that's not actual leadership. And I'm going to say, as a woman, it's not what we need. One of the things I love about my husband and I'm so grateful for is that I have the comfort of knowing and the security of knowing that he's ultimately going to take ownership for where our family goes and what direction that we head. And that is the real leadership that women need. And so often what we see in the church is this encouragement from the pastorate to almost tell husbands to submit to their wives, as if that is what servanthood is, submission. And of course, we can see from Christ and from his example that that is not what servant leadership is, because Christ wielded authority.
All right. This is where there are opportunities on both sides. So you've got pastors who are basically, as you stated, saying, husbands, submit to your wives, period. Having said that, you would affirm a man is a fool who does not consult with his best source of wisdom, his wife. Would you
yes.
agree? Okay.
Absolutely. All right.
Okay. So then you've got people more on the other side of the spectrum who are saying, no, leadership doesn't consult at all. Leadership just dominates and does, and the woman should happily follow. So you can see where there's an opportunity for there to be division on the issue and extremes on the issue. So perhaps the moral of the story, because we could spend the next 7 days talking about the issue of male leadership, what it looks like in the home, spiritual leadership. let's perhaps leave this particular contributor to the Nick Fuentes sensation to church. Have you sorted this? Have you thought through what male leadership looks like? What are young men hearing? What are the older men hearing? Do you have the biblical perspective? Are you giving a correct, balanced approach to this? Are you explaining leadership and service simultaneously, or is it one or the other? In other words, Megan, I think moral of the story is we conservative evangelicals need to be talking more about our definition and understanding of male leadership. All right?
Yeah.
Let's leave that one just for a moment. That's one of the contributors why a guy like Nick Fuentes is so popular. Theologically, biblically, is there anything else in your opinion that the church is failing to address for young men that is leading them to a guy like Nick Fuentes?
Yes, the scourge of pornography. So, I mean, we know that it is a massive problem. And because I don't think you can look at Nick Fuentes in a vacuum. There are other influencers similar to him who peddle a similar message, someone like the Tate brothers. So Andrew Tate is a similar figure attracting young men with a very similar message. And they're pornographers. So, you know, Nick Fuentes has joked about his pornography use. I hate to say this, I don't watch him, but my understanding is correct. He's actually been caught on live streams with pornography in the background of whatever he was streaming. So we know that that is a part of his life. Let's put it that way. Same thing with the Tate brothers. They were actual pornographers. So these are the people, these are the young men that are drawing the attention of other young men. And I think part of that enmity between men and women that you're talking about is so informed by pornography and our entirely porn-drenched culture that it's impossible to get away from that, because I do think it breeds a hatred of women and it breeds a hatred of self, that you should feel shame and you should feel guilt, but they're not being told to deal with that shame and guilt in a scriptural way. So instead, it's just developing this ongoing despisal of women.
All right. Now, in fairness though, Megan, the young men who are on in a more conservative Protestant denomination, pornography isn't being promoted there. They would say, oh, pornography is definitely wrong. Now, that doesn't mean they ain't looking at it, but they would affirm, no, pornography isn't ideal. It's not the best. In fact, it's actually bad. Why would a guy like Nick or the Tate brothers attract those guys who would say, I don't agree with your position on pornography?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for one thing, we have to acknowledge that the church does not nearly talk about pornography to the level that pornography has infected our culture. I mean, you know, how often do you hear about it? Like maybe once a year, twice a year. It's not something that I hear talked about that often, whereas the amount of it that has drenched our culture is almost impossible to quantify. So that's part of the problem. And why I think they're being attracted to a Nick Fuentes or an Andrew Tate anyway is, one, some of those imitators that I talked about who pretend to be pastors, they will say things like, yes, you're watching porn, but that's at least sinning in the right direction in our LGBTQ dominated culture. That's a thing that I have heard. You're at least sinning in the right direction.
No, you're kidding me.
Okay. No, I'm not.
All right. So here's what I'm thinking about the pornography issue, because you're right. I don't think the churches talk about it as much as we must. I'm afraid it's not the most pleasant subject for a pastor to preach about on a Sunday morning. I get that, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be talking about these issues. What pornography does, so these young men, even in what we would call, let's just say conservative, some reformed circles, they're consuming this stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It objectifies women. It degrades them. And so now for a guy like one of these social media influencers to talk about patriarchy and masculine leadership and women shouldn't have the right to vote or have a social media platform, that's not a big step at all, because pornography has already given them that mindset. So I might conclude from this, It's the porn, what porn has done to them more than what Nick Fuentes has indoctrinated them with. He just allows them to extend their thinking about women. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't know that you can separate those two things, the pornography addiction that is so rampant among young men and that is also pushing them to not ask out women. They're not pursuing right. women for dates and for marriage because right. they have this outlet that we wouldn't have had in eras past. So I think that is part of the problem, and that's isolating them further. And that isolation and that guilt and that shame, all of these things lead them to a dissident fringe voice like a Nick Fuentes or an Andrew Tate.
And if the church isn't aware of it, it doesn't mean that you have to be listening to every political podcast and every social media influencer. But to fail to be aware of this, I think at this time, Megan, is a really big mistake for the church. However, you might have more bullets in your gun, but I think that there is one that needs to be discussed when it comes to the issue of a guy like Nick Fuentes and why it's causing so much fracturing on the political right. And I think you might perk up for this one, Megan. Feminism.
Yeah.
Feminism and its influence. It is, we think of it historically. Well, that happened way back then with the right to vote. Oh no, feminism is alive and well, and it is crushing young men with our special guest, Megan Basham, here on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody, and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy, but they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. You know as well as I do, college campuses are battlegrounds. They always have been. Ideas clash, worldviews compete, and somewhere in the middle, students are trying to figure out what's actually true. This year, Fortis Institute showed up. 3 campus visits where we share the gospel and equip students to think clearly. Also, 300,000 Play the Man booklets put directly into the hands of students, giving them tools to push back against the lies they're hearing in classrooms. And look, it's working. Students are waking up. They're asking questions. They're realizing there's another way to think about masculinity, about their faith, and about truth itself. But 3 campuses aren't enough. Next year, we're planning to visit 12 campuses. And also, Todd's new book, Go Serve Your King, releases with HarperCollins next year as well. And here's the opportunity you have right now. Every gift you give through the end of the year is matched. Dollar for dollar match, up to $500,000. Your donation literally doubles. FortisInstitute.org. Give now and watch your gift double today.
Books of the Bible. The book of Job answers the question, why do the righteous suffer? When Job loses everything, his friends blame him. But when Job questions the Lord, he responds, God is sovereign and he is good. His ways are beyond our understanding. When you suffer, know that God is in control. He has his own purposes that you may not understand.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Thank you, feminism. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you've studied feminism. Maybe you had to take that course at university, the history of women's rights, and it feels like a thing of the past. Oh, it ain't. Feminism is alive and well, and it is my opinion that it has permeated every sector of society, and it is now bearing fruit, where now women increasingly are the majority in the workplace, getting university degrees. The parity that was offered to women has now been exceeded, where it's now women having more influence on institutions than men. And I think we are feeling it. Megan Basham joining us here on Wretched Radio to discuss the Nick Fuentes firestorm, but more importantly, what's causing it, so that the church can identify, okay, here's what's going on out there. Why are they seeking somebody, a social media influencer that has some wacky ideas, and they're not being informed at the church? And so, Megan, we talked about, for instance, you rightly identified that the church isn't speaking about male leadership in the home, the church, or in the nation. And so these guys come along and it's like, hey, we gotta lead. We've got, men want to climb that mountain. We're not giving them that mountain in the church. Mm. So they're finding it elsewhere. But let me, before we move into the other reasons for this, Megan, here's why I think that is. You've got guys who are wanting to make sure that men aren't jerks. And so they talk about being servant leaders in the home. And that, I don't think that phrase is wrong, servant leader. But how they tend to define it is, it's just acquiescing, never really forcefully leading. And so on the other side of the spectrum, you've got a much more muscular patriarchy, which doesn't serve as much as just lead. Well, it needs to be servant leadership. I think the issue, Megan, is, and this is an opportunity, somebody should write this book. It's this zone, what it does look like. Nobody's been able to articulate that well. I think that's a problem for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'd love to give an example of why I think the church has failed in this issue and how it helped sort of create the opening for a Nick Fuentes or an Andrew Tate. A few years ago, I watched the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, which is, you know, the largest Protestant denomination in the U.S., arguably one of the most conservative. And he said that he felt that the church was suffering from female leadership, which just kind of blew my mind. I went, I don't know how you can see that. But he then said he went through every role in his church and tried to figure out where biblically he would be allowed to replace a man with a woman. And if he could, he would appoint a woman in that position instead. So they went through all their staff roles and said, what could a woman do? And so they were prioritizing female leadership in the church. Why? When our model is masculine leadership in the church, which is not to say that women aren't given a role. We are given a role as women of teaching other women, which is an incredible privilege. Our biggest privilege is shaping our children. That is how God has given to women primarily to shape the church, in shaping our children and raising them. And so this pastor was sort of denigrating that by saying, no, instead, we need to have women in formal leadership positions to such a degree that I'm going to go through our entire staff roster and try to figure out where maybe scripture will allow me to place a woman, which is a really weird way of thinking about this. And so that to me is emblematic of the sort of problem that we've seen. It was like the president of the SBC was saying, well, I'm gonna try to abide by the very strict letter of the law of Paul saying I don't permit a woman to teach and that we're not to have women in these positions in the pastorate, but I'm gonna try to fudge it as much as possible. So he was failing to understand the distinctives between men and women that are encoded in us from the beginning of creation.
Well, I think that's to my point. It's like, okay, and it's not like there's nothing that we should ignore everything that they're saying about previous attitudes generationally. We've got the courage to do that. But that's an example of being more like, no, it's not about males leading. We don't want males leading, you know, like, well, we do, but shh, we'll kind of keep it on the down low here. All right. And then again, on the other side, it's like, come on, dudes, let's lead this thing. And this balance of the two is simply not been articulated. I think we need somebody write a book, be a voice that says, this is what male leadership looks like. That does involve being a servant to others without totally neglecting your ability to actually lead. So if somebody's looking for a book idea, here it is right here. You can just, this zone right here. All right. So that was one of the reasons that you've concluded that there is a hole in what the churches are teaching young men that's seeking them to fill it elsewhere. You talked about pornography. Let's get to feminism. How has feminism influenced and perhaps gotten into the psyche of young men in such a way that it is causing at least, it's not an insignificant movement. However big it is, we don't know. But it's enough that it's loud right now in social media. How has feminism influenced these men that has allowed them to follow a guy like Nick Fuentes? And what is the church not saying about it that allows them to do it?
Well, I think everywhere we look, we can see statistical evidence of how women are progressing in the culture and the economy at a faster rate than men. In fact, men are falling behind. Women are moving forward. In many large metropolitan areas now, this is a fact, young women out-earn young men. And that's a problem because young women instinctively want a provider and a protector. That is hardwired into us. It's what we want. So when you've had a culture that has invested in making sure that young women excel and young men don't, you create this disconnect. And that does create hostility and it creates resentment. And that's where we are right now. We have people, Nick Fuentes, Andrew Tate, these imitators I discussed, they are exploiting the resentment. That would be, to me, the perfect definition of what their shows are.
Yeah. See, I think even just consider the workplace, for instance. There were laments that masculine leadership was just too cut and dry. Hey, dude, knock it off. You're not performing. Get your numbers up. Well, that was considered not sensitive enough. So now with more women leading, the pendulum has swung another way. Hey, we're not so worried about goals. We don't have things to accomplish here. We just need to be warm and friendly and supportive and encouraging with one another. And whatever you do, don't ever criticize. And so men just, I think, instinctively find that like, okay, that's just, and that plays in to their attitude about life. So I think it's happening at work. I think it's happening at university. We see it in the political realm. We hear it from our, and it's not just the female leaders, it's male leaders too, that we need a softer, gentler, more sensitive sort of approach to everything. And the problem again, Megan, it's not that there isn't some truth in that, but it's the pendulum. That's all it looks like. And men just, they don't dig that. So the question then is, how can the church offer a corrective to that?
Right. It's the HRification of the entire society.
That's a great way to put it.
I think that's what we've seen. And it is very female dominated. And, you know, you mentioned some of sort of the positive female cultural instincts like togetherness and working as a team. But there's also some pretty toxic and negative ones, which is like the way that women deal with conflict is, you know, to socially freeze people out. And we've seen that in cancel culture, whereas, you know, the male approach to conflict is much more straightforward. And I would say that, you know, it can be a lot more positive thing in the workplace because you can just handle it and move forward and men forget about the argument. Whereas women, we kind of fester on it. We'll make you pay.
It's feelings, more feelings driven. It's not without rationality, but men tend to be more rational in their approach to things. I think the Kavanaugh confirmation was a really good demonstration of that. Hey, she felt that this happened and that is enough. Do we have the evidence needed to boot the guy? Didn't appear that we did, but that's rational. This is emotive. And this now, the emotive is dominating the rational. And I just think that men are going, we just have had enough of this and they're attracted to the tough guy. So with that, Megan, we've concluded. We've got to be taking a look and having a better conversation about male leadership, about pornography, and about feminism and its impact, so that we can identify these, well, assaults on young men and show them a better way. I think we need to model it for them, and we need to be discipling them into these roles, having them actually do it. Don't just keep telling them about it. Actually install them into positions where they can be growing in leadership skills and they can actually apply their Bibles rightly. Megan, thank you. You've helped to bring some clarity to a big, messy situation. And did you notice we didn't really talk about the political stuff as much with what's going on?
We didn't. I came prepared. So next time.
We'll do that. Check out her book, Shepherds for Sale. I'm telling you, it's like one page after another is just jaw-dropping. Oh, Megan, I'm super grateful for you. Thank you for all the work that you do.
Same to you, my friend. Thank you.
All right, until tomorrow, go serve your king.